Welcome back to The Upgrade Effect, the podcast for health nuts who simply want the science. I'm your host, Samantha, certified teacher and nutrition coach, and also proud wellness nerd. Today, we are diving into gut health, something that's deeply misunderstood and casually thrown around. We are going to break it down, starting with how your gut talks to your brain, what your gut actually is, and how to take care of it. Backed by science, of course. About you guys. However, before I began to do these deep dives into what gut health is, I thought your gut was almost like its own organ. I thought your gut was your stomach in a lot of ways. And I just thought it was this small area in your body that is your gut. That's what I thought it was. And it is so much more than that. Okay. But let's first start with where your gut health journey actually begins. And interesting enough, it begins in your brain. So the gut and the brain are constantly talking to each other through a communication network called the gut-brain axis. This connection happens through nerves, especially the vagus nerve, hormones, it happens through immune messengers, and neurotransmitters. Okay, so fun fact, your gut makes over 90% of the body's serotonin, which is a key neurotransmitter involved in your mood, your sleep, and even your digestion. Okay, so let's back up. What is a neurotransmitter? Okay, a neurotransmitter is like a little messenger that your brain uses to send signals between your nerve cells. Your nerve cells are your brain cells. So imagine your brain is full of tiny wires that are called neurons, and for them to talk to each other, they need to pass notes. Those notes are neurotransmitters. They carry messages that tell your body what to do, how to feel, or even when to sleep or to wake up. So different neurotransmitters just do different types of jobs. So some neurotransmitters will tell your arm to move if something's hot, to move it, because if you touch it, it's going to be hot and burn yourself. Some neurotransmitters tell your brain how to feel when it looks at something. Okay, you just saw something scary, feel scared. So that all happens because of little messengers that communicate with different nerve cells, which are cells in your brain, and they talk through neurotransmitters. So again, those are chemical messengers that are sent, chemical notes, if you will, that are sent between nerve cells in your brain, okay? So the different neurotransmitters do different jobs. One of the main ones is serotonin. So serotonin is your feel-good neurotransmitter. This helps with mood and happiness. So if you're feeling happy or relaxed, serotonin will be present. Dopamine is actually linked to motivation and reward. So if you do something, you've accomplished a task, you're going to get a rush of dopamine. And that is another common neurotransmitter. Another one is called GABA, G-A-B-A, and that one helps you relax and calm down. And then there's this one that's tricky to pronounce. It's called acetylcholine, that helps with your memory and your focus. They're super tiny, but they play a huge role in how you think, how you feel, and how you move. Okay, so now that we know what a neurotransmitter is, let's move on. So when your gut is inflamed, so as I said before, your gut makes over 90% of your body's serotonin, that feel-good neurotransmitter. So if you want to feel good, your gut has to be in check. Okay, and we'll come back to this a little bit later. So when your gut is inflamed or imbalanced, it can signal distress to your brain, leading to symptoms like anxiety, depression, or brain fog. And it goes both ways. High stress levels can actually change the makeup of your gut bacteria, weaken your gut lining, and reduce digestive function. Okay, one notable study that I will mention is a 2019 review in Nature Microbiology that showed that people with major depressive disorder consistently had altered gut microbiota compared to healthy controls, and several strains were directly linked to mood regulation. So very often when you go to your doctor and you're telling him you're depressed and he gives you a pill of some sort to deal with the symptoms, not actually healing the problem is rooted in disrupted gut health, okay? So what is your gut exactly? Let's get clear on the terms. What is the gut? When we say gut, we're talking about your gastrointestinal tract, which is a long muscular tube that starts at your mouth and ends all the way at your anus. It's about 30 feet long and includes your esophagus, which is the tube that food gets pushed down, your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, aka your colon, your rectum, and your anal canal. Okay, so the gut is responsible for digesting food, absorbing nutrients, and eliminating waste. It's got lots of jobs, lots of big jobs. And like I said before, when I used to think it was just this small little organ in your body, I actually thought it was your stomach at one point. It's actually multiple different organs, your gut. And it's very important that we keep our gut health in check if we want to feel happy, joyful, peaceful. All of these elated positive emotions require balanced and healthy gut bacteria in order to thrive. Okay? But here's the twist. The real star of the show is your gut microbiome. So there's your gut, and then there's your gut microbiome. Okay? So your gut comprises all of those organs that I've just stated. But your gut microbiome specifically are the trillions of microorganisms living mainly in your large intestine. So your large intestine is the main hub of the trillions of microorganisms that make up your gut bacteria. Your large intestine is where most gut bacteria resides. Think of it as a microscopic metropolis, teeming with life and constantly changing based on how you live and how you eat. Okay? So what makes gut health so important? The gut is more than just a food tube. It's a command center for your entire body. So here's what a healthy gut will do. A healthy gut will regulate your immunity. About 70% of your immune system is located along your gut lining. Okay, it modulates inflammation. So certain bacteria produce short-chain fatty acids that reduce inflammation. And this happens when you eat fiber. So fiber is going to produce the short-chain fatty acids. Fiber, as I noted in my previous episode on digestion, which you guys should check out, fiber is the one type of nutrient that is not absorbed or is not broken down by your enzymes. It's actually your gut bacteria feeds off the fiber. It produces short-chain fatty acids. And those things, short-chain fatty acids, reduce your inflammation. So fiber is a very necessary component of good gut health. What else does your gut do? It supports brain health via neurotransmitters and vagus nerve signals. So as I explained, a neurotransmitter is a chemical message. And when your gut health is in check, those messages are going to run very fluidly and smoothly through your body, and you're going to function optimally. It also manages your metabolism. It influences how you absorb calories. It regulates your blood sugar, and it stores fat. It protects against pathogens. So a healthy gut keeps bad bacteria, viruses, and toxins in check. And it synthesizes your nutrients. So some gut bacteria make vitamins like B12, K2, and folate. So fun fact, you make more immune molecules in your gut each day than anywhere else in your entire body. Another notable study is that was published in Science in 2006. Researchers transplanted gut microbes from obese mice into lean mice, and then the lean mice just started gaining weight just from putting those gut microbes from the obese mice into the lean mice alone. Not even with changing their diet, they started gaining weight. So there's a direct correlation between good gut health and your body's ability to manage weight gain properly. Okay? So how does your gut microbiome develop? Your gut microbiome isn't static. It's shaped by your entire life. You begin acquiring gut bacteria at birth. Vaginal births, interestingly enough, actually expose babies to the mother's microbiota, while C-sections actually skip this step. So breastfeeding versus formula also plays a big role. By age 3, your gut microbiome stabilizes, but it keeps changing throughout your life depending on your diet, your environment, medication, how much you stress, and even how much time you spend outside. Another fun fact, children who grow up with pets who play outside and live on farms tend to have more diverse and resilient microbiomes. It's wild. When I learned that vaginal births create a more diverse microbiome than a C-section birth, I was absolutely blown away. It's crazy. So what hurts your gut health? Okay, so the most common modern day gut disruptors in order, number one is an overuse of antibiotics. You take antibiotics when you have some type of infection that needs to be killed, but the problem with that, it's great that they work, but they also kill the good gut bacteria too. So the more you take antibiotics, the worse off your gut health is going to be. Highly processed foods is number two, especially those that are really low in fiber and high in added sugars. Those are the worst things for your gut. Same with artificial sweeteners like sucralose and aspartame, often found in diet drinks and low-fat yogurt, etc. These have a major negative impact on your gut flora. It all starts with good gut health. Chronic stress and poor sleep. If you don't sleep well, your gut microbiome will be disrupted. Sleep is huge. And overall, just a sedentary lifestyle, which means you're not moving very much, you're not getting your daily steps in, you're not exercising, you're very stagnant. After work, you just hit the couch, lay down, eat potato chips, etc. Sedentary means very still, not very active. And if that's your lifestyle, your gut microbiome more than likely will have some sort of dysbiosis to it. Dysbiosis is a fancy word for an imbalanced gut, okay? One round of broad spectrum antibiotics can actually reduce microbial diversity for months. So just be careful when it comes to the overuse of antibiotics, because even just one round can disrupt your gut bacteria for months and months, which is super, super wild. Okay, so only take antibiotics if you absolutely need to. Okay, common signs of imbalance in your gut or dysbiosis is chronic bloating or gas. If you're having lots of gas and you're always feeling bloated, something is definitely off in your gut. If you have irregular bowel movements, that is a huge one that should make you know, okay, something's off in my gut. Brain fog, just hard to focus, hard to be with it at work, or just a low mood. You're kind of like vibrating at a very low frequency. You don't have a lot of energy. Skin issues, especially eczema and acne, almost always rooted in dysbiosis in the gut. Frequent illness or poor immunity. If you are getting sick every couple of months, that's not normal. There's something off with your gut. And the last sign for an unhealthy gut are food sensitivities or intolerances. Even if you are allergic to lots and lots of things, I'm not saying for every single case, but many of those cases, there's something off in your gut that's creating these sensitivities to so many foods. But here's the key. Your gut can heal. It just needs time, consistency, and the right inputs, which we will get into right now. So what nourishes a healthy gut? So let's talk solutions, okay? You guys, given you the signs and the symptoms of a disbalanced gut, let's talk about the solutions, okay? Let's bring it to a more positive place, okay? So the first and number one thing that you could possibly do for your gut that will make it so very happy is eating fiber-rich foods, plant-forward diets, okay? So aim for 30-plus different plant foods per week for the best microbial diversity. So Monday, have something with broccoli. Tuesday, have something with cabbage. Wednesday, have something with carrots. What I like to do is I like to pair my meals always with the vegetable. You're giving your gut that extra fiber that will change that food into short-chain fatty acids, which helps with inflammation in the body, which will ultimately help you feel better and function better, and everything will just work. So fiber is number one. Okay, number two, fermented foods. I'm really big on kombucha. It's so easy to make. If you check out my Instagram, that I'll link on this, a link on my YouTube page, you guys could see I've just actually posted recently a kombucha video. It's literally, you just need black tea, good water, like distilled. I personally use hydrogen water made by Kangen, Kangen water made by Enagic, sorry. And hot water. You just boil the water, steep the tea, you add a nice organic sugar. Don't use white sugar. Don't use table sugar. That stuff's garbage. And then you get a SCOBY. You can buy a SCOBY. A SCOBY is a mushroom. And the SCOBY will start to eat the sugar and it starts to ferment. And it creates kombucha within 2 weeks of just letting it sit on your counter when you do all those things. Super easy. You drink that every day. Your gut will absolutely love you. Some other fermented foods that are pretty popular that have live cultures are yogurt, Greek yogurt. I eat that stuff on a regular basis. Sauerkraut is huge. You can also make your own at home. Super easy. Costco also has a really, really good organic brand that they make. Kimchi, miso. I haven't personally tried miso, but it looks really good. Tempeh. So these deliver live beneficial bacteria, which are called probiotics, to your gut, and your gut just loves these foods. The next one is prebiotic foods. Okay. So these are garlic, onions, leeks, bananas. If the banana is green, I used to think that you should always wait till it's yellow. Yes, it'll have more nutrients if it's yellow, but if it's more green, it's going to have more prebiotics in it. So there's pros and cons of eating it really ripe and yellow versus eating it really green. Asparagus is also a great prebiotic food, and apples and oats. And if you guys didn't know, prebiotics are a type of fiber that feed the good bacteria in your gut. So think of your gut like a garden, and the good bacteria are the flowers. You want them to grow and stay strong. Prebiotics are like the fertilizer that helps these flowers to thrive. When you eat prebiotic rich food, you're basically giving your good gut bugs the fuel that they need to do their job, like helping with digestion, bloating, immune systems, and even your mood. So they're different from probiotics, which are the live bacteria themselves, like the seeds. Prebiotics are the food for those seeds to grow. So I hope this makes sense. Okay. Number four is lifestyle support. So sleep 7 to 9 hours a night is ideal. Every time I sleep for 8 hours, 9 hours even, I just feel so good the next day. 7 hours is totally doable, but just try not to get less than 7 hours of sleep, especially on a regular, consistent basis, because this also could throw off your good gut bacteria. Okay, manage stress with breath work, yoga, journaling, not negative things like drinking booze just because you're stressed, which is also a major gut disruptor, drinking lots of alcohol, and just movement. So regular physical activity will support your microbial diversity. Another study highlight that's worth noting is the American Gut Project that found that participants who ate the widest variety of plants had the most diverse and resilient gut microbiomes. So diversity on your plate equals diversity in your gut. Okay, so probiotics versus prebiotics, and do you need a supplement? Okay, so as I noted before, probiotics are live organisms found in food or supplements, okay, like the kombucha, the kefir, the sauerkraut. And then prebiotics are the types of fiber that feed your gut bacteria. Okay, so should you take a probiotic supplement? Maybe, especially after antibiotics, or if you're dealing with gut issues, if you're traveling, if you have been dealing with gut issues for a while and you need that extra little bit of a boost to kind of help everything get in check a little bit quicker, then that's a great option to get some probiotics. But food first is absolutely the best approach. Most people see benefits just by improving diet and lifestyle. If you aren't traveling and there's nothing particularly wrong with your gut right now, there's absolutely no need to buy probiotics. Your body is made perfect and it has everything it needs to function optimally if you are feeding it healthy, fiber-rich foods. That's all. Okay? So are probiotics bad? Is it bad to buy probiotic supplements? Absolutely not. But unless you're traveling or you happen to have some current gut issues, you don't really need to spend your money on it. And that's just the truth. Okay? I know there's a lot of supplements out there that are promoting you to buy them. And sometimes it's intriguing to think, oh, maybe I should just buy these probiotics. But at the end of the day, it's just a money grab. People want to make money by selling it because at the end of the day, laziness is what funds all of these health companies. People that are too lazy to make kombucha, people that are too lazy to just cook their food and eat fiber-rich foods. So just remember, if you are willing to make your own probiotics, if you are willing to cook your own fiber-rich foods and eat them on a regular basis, if you are willing to do the things and put the work in that will not even feel like work after a while, it'll just come as second nature. Your gut will absolutely thrive, and in turn, you will thrive. Okay, so gut health isn't just about a one-size-fits-all detox or trendy supplement. It's about understanding how this food system supports everything from digestion to brain function and taking small, consistent steps to support it. Your gut is not just where food goes, it's actually where health begins. Okay, guys, so that is it for today's episode. You now should have the basics of gut health, what your gut is, how it will function optimally, what will disrupt gut health. And that's basically all you need to know. So with that being said, thank you for listening to this episode of The Upgrade Effect. And if you enjoyed it, please leave a review, share it with a friend, tag a friend who's always bloated, share it on Instagram. And with that said, I will see you next week with another deep dive. Remember, guys, always keep upgrading. Cheers.